This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Kenny, just rolling the tunes behind the scenes.
Yeah, this Love is it. A Mullen favorite, though. Mullen's off for the week.
Get your own material. How about Mullen chiming into the group text at like midnight? You can tell he was sideways by the fire pit.
Yeah, he was enjoying his life, you could tell.
Yeah,
and you called him out on it.
When someone just all of a sudden responds to a link or responds to a dialogue from 4 or 5 hours before, and it's past midnight, that means that person is basically buckled.
Mulls never chimes in unless it's like break or the guy's there, and he just all of a sudden pipes in at midnight saying bleep, 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 and bleep, and then he's gone forever. It's just like, no way, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mullen's off. So Ken is he's making things happen. You know, he's running the board, he's picking the songs, and he's in there by himself because, oh, you're not back in there today. And, you know, he's doing what he's doing, and it's
so far, so good.
So far, so good. Yeah. Yeah, we're an hour in on a holiday Monday, and the weather's getting a little bit ugly in the GTA. So if you're on the roads, be careful. I think a lot of people are probably coming home, and a lot of people are getting back out into the real world, and yet sports is probably dragging you back to your couch. Like the Raptors were playing this afternoon. We had a Monday afternoon game, and they end up getting past Miami, and Fred VanVleet goes off for 36. That is a new career high. He was 7-for-12 from three. 7-for-12 from three for Fred. That is an impressive stat line, and they're 2-0. And I said on the morning show today, and I thought about this analogy over the weekend, the Raptors are the new San Antonio Spurs. They don't have Tim Duncan, who's a top 10 or 15 player all time, but what they do have is just consistency, professionalism, veteran leadership, a core, a culture. They defend, they shoot, they pass the ball, they find the open man. They are the new Spurs. Like, you just know that they're going to get in the middle of it. They're not the sexiest team, right? When the Spurs were running off title after title or getting to the finals, everyone wanted LeBron, everyone wanted Kobe. Right?
Yeah.
But San Antonio just kept stepping in and saying, actually, we'll go ahead and take that. And that's what the Raptors are. They disrupt and they play a style that other people want to play, but they're not capable of playing. And they just continue to rack up wins.
Yeah, I was impressed with Lowry against the LA Lakers. It's almost like he's come into his own. He seemed like a bit of a petulant child for the majority of his career, but the coach talked about his conditioning, where usually it'd been 2 months off. You were thinking, what's this guy going to show up like? But he's dialed in.
He's dialed in.
Yeah, it's all aspects of his game, leadership, everything. He's the real deal right now. I love it.
Is Nick Nurse Pop then?
Basically, you know, like, listen, those are Popovich is an all-time great, right?
Plus, like a crusty, like he's as crusty as they come. He's Belichick.
Yes, he is, very much so. Nick Nurse is much more gregarious and fun-loving and willing to talk and have self-deprecation and all that kind of stuff, where Pop won't play the game, although it was a shtick for Pop. I mean, he was doing it on purpose in many ways. But the Spurs were just consistently a 60-win team that defended team defense unlike anyone else in the league, found the open man, hit shots, found players. You know, they'd find guys, and you're like, who? Like, where'd they find that guy? And he steps in and he performs and he's got a long run and he's committed to the program. And that's where the Raptors are right now. So they get past Miami earlier today. They are now, I believe, 5 games up on Boston. They play the Celtics on Friday night. If they win that game, they're clear. They're the 2 seed in the East. That's where it's trending. Maple Leafs, on the other hand, they played last night. And it was a closely contested game. I mean, it wasn't a barn burner back and forth, you know, 5-4 craziness with hits and fights and all this animosity. I didn't think there was really any animosity, quite frankly, but that is probably to be expected with the Maple Leafs. That's not their DNA. They're not going to go out there and look to fight and hit and scrum and chirp. I think Columbus would be okay with that if it got to that point. But at the end, it was one chance they got past Freddie. Freddie played really well. He probably should have had that Atkinson goal. But Columbus is up 1-0 in a best of five. So the Leafs are back up against the wall. Let's see what they've got tomorrow.
And it's a weird, like, it's a 4 o'clock start, too, tomorrow, right? Like, that's, I kept thinking about that. Like, that's a weird time. Like, your body clock's a little bit, you know, it's not an afternoon game, but it's not a night game. Like, it's just right in that, I don't know, like, there's no morning skate. You just go and play. Like, I don't know. Both teams are in the same boat, so I'm not making excuses for either or. It's just, I knew as a player, I hated the noon game. I just liked the nighttime game. This is a weird time to play. I know everyone has to go through it, so everyone's on the same level playing field, but that also leads to some inconsistency for me. You know, is the game going to have wild swings in it because one team is asleep at the starting and the other one is trying to get their legs underneath it? Like, either way, it's a second playoff game, but
yeah,
that
different.
One's going to be a weird.
The
know?
Leafs don't have a long history of playing afternoon games.
No,
right, but they also don't have a long history of playing in an empty building in August, so there's a lot of curveballs being thrown at you. And, you know, they've never played a best of five, and they're down 1-0 in a best of five. So there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of, I guess, you know, there's a large learning curve. But those are just all excuses, right,
yeah,
that
right.
No one wants to hear from this team, and no one's going to accept, I don't think. You know,
no.
They've got to find a way to win this series, and their back is up against the wall, losing in game one last night. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. Putting the actual final score out of sight and out of mind here, which can be difficult to do. When you look at the Leafs in their play last night, Ray, are you a glass half full or a glass half empty guy?
I don't know that I'm much of either. I don't think I've really changed my opinion on the series after watching last night, because the game last night was played the way Columbus wanted to play it, and the way Columbus is going to play. And yesterday's score, taken aside, if they don't win a few more puck battles or get to the inside to some available loose pucks that are there off Korpisalo saves, then they're not going to win. Like, I thought Columbus played almost perfectly last night. And I didn't think there were times where Toronto made them uncomfortable, like got inside on the rebound and cycled the puck and played fast. And they certainly didn't get anything off the rush. And those are kind of the challenges we thought would be there before the series and were apparent last night.
So what do you think can happen, Ray, for at Wednesday at 5 p.m., you say that's the game Toronto wanted to play? Because I don't think they're going to get odd man rushes. So what do they have to do for you to say that's the game Toronto wants to play and they executed it?
I thought they held the puck too long when they had it. So, like, you're right. Or, you know, we're talking about, like, how are they all of a sudden going to get a bunch of 3-on-2s? I don't see that happening.
That's what I want to get to. How is it going to be? That's the game Toronto wanted to play, and they executed and they won. What would that look like?
Their skill.
Is he gone?
Is he gone? I didn't know if he was gone
or
if I was gone.
That
was the eeriest feeling ever. I'm like, it just is. It is so dead. I'm like, did I just drop? And now I'm just going to shut up and, like, you know, like, kind of go into the background.
I thought it was a good question, too.
It was
a great
question.
I was like, am I gone? Like, I kept.
I thought I was gone. I was certain I was off the air. I'm like, I'm done. Okay, I'm just going to shut this one up and tune up the old Access 006.
As we pump Kenny's tires, he just goes and drops the ball.
Kenny's out to lunch. He's starting to, you know, read
his
press.
Come on, Kenny. Yeah, we know Winnipeg won, but yeah.
No, I, you know what, Ray was talking about holding on to the puck. The one play that frustrated me, and I know it frustrated, I'm sure, most of Leaf Nation, like, how they are going to create chances and get opportunities is by using their team speed. You had Kapanen on a partial breakaway, and he circles up to make a play. Like,
awful.
Drive the net and force them to haul you down. Then you go on the power play, and you create chances, and you get goals. Like, to me, the Leafs, Columbus is going to play the same way. How about you drive middle ice and force them to hook and hold you and slash you and get back on their heels? Yeah, you got to get the puck to Korpisalo, but to me, it's by challenging middle ice you can do that. And – you know, not looking for the pretty play, not looking to circle back and dust the snow off the puck. You're going to have to dig in and get gritty here, and maybe your special teams are going to be the difference.
Yeah.
Like, that's really...
Shouldn't surprise people. Like, ideally, you'd like it just to be a skillful shootout. That means the Leafs would clearly have the upper hand on Columbus.
Not
clearly.
Happening.
But why would Columbus ever allow that to happen? Exactly. Right. Columbus understands what they have and what they don't have and what the Leafs have. So it's going to come down to really, you know, a very simple old-school hockey discussion. Do you have the willpower and the fight and the intensity to push through some barriers and,
yeah,
and force the opposition to be uncomfortable and force them to do things they don't want to do? I don't know if this team can do it because I've never seen it consistently. Right?
Right.
Like, could
yep.
they do it for a game? Sure they could. I don't know if they can do it for three. I hope they can, for their sake, for every fan in the city's sake. I hope so. But it's on them to prove it. You know, it's on them to change the narrative, their own reputation. You earn your reputation, man. You can hate on it all you want. You earn it over time, and this team has earned it over time. We got you back, Ray?
I think so.
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
I was on my home line which I only have for these radio hits because you're always complaining about my cell service. So,
right.
you know, so, and now the home line, I must live on the moon, man. Like, I don't know what goes on.
You got young kids, they pull the plug in the background or something.
Or Riley's into another round on Fortnite or something, or Reese has joined the game. I don't know. I don't know what that, does that even matter? I don't know.
It might. I mean, it's way above my head, but it could. Wouldn't shock me.
But I'll tell you, I thought O's question was like one of O's best.
Yes, it was.
It was.
That's what
fantastic.
Was disappointing. We thought you may have just like basically were in shock. You went into a coma. You just were like, call the ambulance, Gammy. This guy asked me a great question.
Stop it.
Call the
I have
ambulance.
No answer for that. It was brilliant. I have
yeah,
no answer.
It really was. So, well, now you've had time to think of the answer. So what do you got for us?
I sketched a few things out in the time I was away. So, like, I thought they held the puck too long. Like, when you're carrying it, that allows Columbus just to stay where they are. Like, they don't have to really react. It's nice to have, you know, a nice rush and all that. But when you rush into four other guys standing there, it's not even a rush anymore. So I'm looking at, say, like, the puck comes out on a breakout. It's moved once to the wing and once to the middle. But now you've got support that floods one side of the ice where – where the Columbus guys have to react a little bit. They get out of position. Because last night it seemed like somebody would carry it as far as they could, and then it was finished. And then one guy would try to chip and chase after it, but he'd be by himself. Mm-hmm. And so that's never going to work against them. I was really impressed with Columbus last night. And they looked like, to me, they played really fast, and they were certainly all over Toronto's, like, to forecheck them, and until they support each other and fight like for a rebound or a loose puck, like they do. I mean, it's not like it never happened, but it's not enough. It wasn't enough. I don't know if you guys ended up watching the late game as well, but Minnesota played the same game that Columbus did.
Right.
Yeah, they did.
Like, it was identical. Like, when the game was 1-0. You know, Markstrom had given up a goal that he should stop, which is the same as Anderson should have stopped the goal last night. And yet the game was identical. Like, nothing was different. And I'm like, Vancouver's trying. It's not like they weren't there. They just couldn't get to the inside. They just couldn't get there.
Yeah.
Well, and that's where, you know, the focus comes to the skilled players who are going to have just as difficult of a time to get through as a guy like Hyman would or a guy like Kyle Clifford would. But they're expected to do it and bring more because of their caliber, because of the talent, and ultimately because of the paycheck. And, you know, we spent a good portion of the 4 p.m. hour isolating two guys in John Tavares and Mitch Marner, who I just did not think brought enough to the game last night and simply were not impactful. And at no point did you feel like they were getting going. Like, here we go. That's the shift. Like, that's the tip of the iceberg. It just never materialized. And I think there's more pressure on the captain personally because he has the C, his age. But, man, I think there's got to be a lot of pressure on both guys tomorrow.
I thought they were, like, zero factor last night. Like, just nothing happened. And I've viewed when they put the lines together and whether Nylander should play with Tavares or not, or you know, or with Matthews, or you know, when they flip them around. I think Tavares needs Marner's niftiness.
Yep.
And so when he doesn't have it, that really puts more onto Tavares that is going to be really difficult against really anybody. But like Columbus is really, I think they're really fast. They might not be the most skilled group, you know, top to bottom, but look at a guy like Eric Robinson, who if you might not even know who he is, he's number 50. Man, the guy was everywhere last night. And he's like, he's on their fourth line. And so Torts plays those guys against everybody. So everywhere you turn, there's another fast guy. And if Marner's not going, like Tavares is not going to break away from people. We know that. And then like they weren't even a factor in the game yesterday. I thought Matthews was
good. I thought he was great.
Great chances. He was on the puck. He was aggressive on it. And when he didn't have it, he hunted it really good. But the other thing too that's apparent is like they're getting nothing from their bottom three. And so I see they're going to try Engvall in there instead of Gauthier. But you're playing three lines against four all the time, and that gets difficult to do too.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go, Ray. Were you fine with, I mean, obviously Sheldon Keefe just rolled out Matthews almost 25 minutes, right? Like that's basically, it was like, and Matthews was going, so I didn't mind it. But, you know, that's where Torts on the other end is going to play all four of his lines. Did he trust those guys out there? You know, there's no argument from anybody, especially here in Toronto, where Matthews was getting, 19 minutes? And what did he get in Game 7 against Boston last year that we talked about?
18
was it
19? Or 19 minutes. Yeah. It wasn't enough.
Yeah, it wasn't enough. Like, that's the thing. Like, were you fine with the ice time allotment? Because at the end of the night, I was like, Kyle Clifford didn't play, Spezza didn't play. Like, those guys played three and a half minutes on that fourth line. So they were a zero factor. You can't get anything going on 3.5 minutes. So you're basically three lines versus four.
Well, I was okay because he was going. Like a lot of times, like we all know, like a coach will go to the well of his best player, and some nights they just don't have it. But they keep going back there, and it's just not—it's not their night. Well, last night, if he could have thrown Matthews out there another couple of minutes, there wouldn't have been too much last night because he was great. But they're not. It's like they don't expect it. They don't. It's not going to happen, certainly at 3.5 or 4 or 5 minutes. Like, you're not going to get anything done. Right. And the other thing with Columbus is I found them not as belligerent as I remember them. Like, they weren't scrumming it up. They weren't, they don't run all over the place, and they're not this blue-collar physical, you know, all that. But they're really simple. They're straight ahead. They don't make many fancy plays, but they go fast. And I thought it was impressive to watch last night. I actually was like, Dubois is a really good player, strong. Like that Texier was all over last night. That kid can fly, you know. And so that's kind of their top line. Bjorkstrand was really good. Like I think they got go up and down their lineup. They got good play from most of their players last night. And then they have those two studs on defense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, in the first period, there was one play. They broke out on a 3-on-2, and Jones had the puck in the middle. He pitched it out wide to Werenski and then went straight through the middle. And Werenski passed it back. They had both defensemen in the rush, yet they still don't get trapped because they systematically, they were, like, they cover for each other. Like, they play their system about as well as they could have last night. Like, that's why I don't think I think of the series any differently, because if Columbus can do that three times like that, well, good for them.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where some Maple Leaf fans' frustration might come into play. It's like you're raving about Tessier and Bjorkstrand. It's like they're in their heads thinking this guy should be raving about William Nylander and Mitch Marner. It's like I don't want to hear about Bjorkstrand or Tessier or any guys in Columbus. That's the guys they want to hear about, so they have an opportunity to do that.
Right. Well, but, exactly.
Okay, so you went to the finals, right? And your team was loaded with guys that kicked above their coverage, right? Your big guys, you guys all did what you needed to do, but you got contributions all across from guys that maybe weren't as noteworthy. Did you guys just see the end of the Calgary-Winnipeg game?
Yeah, Calgary's watching it.
Winnipeg's got no players, and they won again, or they won today. Like, we know at this time of year, it's like it's not – if you can be the best players, that's great, but you need more. You've got to find more. And Winnipeg somehow found it today. Paul Maurice did in a – you know, that's a grade-A coaching job. But those guys, like, they – down to the bottom of their roster, they dug deep, deep, deep. And Marner and Nylander and the best players on Toronto, they have to dig deep, deep, deep. And if they do, if both teams dig that deep, they're going to be fine because they'll have more skill. But they got outdug last night.
Yeah. I think Mike Zeisberg had a great tweet today. It's like McDavid and Draisaitl, they're down one. Crosby, Malkin, it's the ultimate team sport where if you have everybody chugging, you're going to have a chance to have success.
Well, man, McDavid had 4 points. He got outplayed the other night.
Yeah, Taves was better. Like, that was a matchup. Jonathan Taves was simply better.
And so but he got 4 points too, and it didn't matter because they gave up 1,000 shots. They gave up 2 man advantage breaks on the first shift.
Yeah, I don't think 4 points represented McDavid's game. That might
no,
be.
No, I
his,
thought he was. I thought he was poor, to be honest.
I thought did he, too. Oh I, man, I, did I take heat all weekend on Twitter? Not that it matters, but Oilers fans, man, did they hate hearing criticism from someone from Toronto? Because I thought, listen, every point counts, but not every point matters, right? Like, he picks up a couple of secondary assists to wrap up a 4-point game. Good for you. The game's over. Like, you could tell McDavid postgame wasn't happy with himself.
No, he had a couple of cough-ups. He had a missed face-off assignment. Yeah. He lost the puck behind the net. It wasn't good.
But what happens tonight? Does he play 30 minutes tonight? Do him and Draisaitl play 30? Like, where?
They're not.
What are they doing?
They're not at 18 to 20 minutes tonight. And no, I think he'll respond, I would suspect. He seems to – he's got that – just like I think the Pittsburgh guys will as well. Like, those guys that are at that level, they seem to find it, like, when they need to get it.
Yeah, I agree. I think you'll see McDavid, he's got a lot of pride, but I look at the bottom of Edmonton's roster. Edmonton was terrible the other day, but, like – a guy like Athanasiou, he must be in the doghouse with Tippett because I didn't see him. I didn't even notice him the other night.
Right.
And there were, that's a guy that they acquired to try and, add to the depth of that team, which was struggling on the wings. And there were times where I was like, this guy is just, he's useless out there, which unfortunately you hope that he's better because that's what Edmonton's looking for. But their top players just weren't good enough to a man the other night in Edmonton.
And everything
and
was
Chicago's
perfect
work
for Chicago. On the other, on the other side, like, it just everything was – like, even Kane, who didn't – I don't know how many points he had, if any, but he had, like, 9 shots or something. Like, he was dancing.
And Crawford was good, and he had, no training camp, basically, in a half of an exhibition game.
Right.
And he made some great saves at the right time.
Well, like, Edmonton's going to move their lines around a bit. I was reading Ryan Rashog's lineup and stuff. And, they traded 2 second-round picks for Athanasiou because they don't want the depth guys. They wanted somebody – that's what they got Tyler Ennis for. They wanted Athanasiou to play with McDavid or Draisaitl, and that's where he started. And now he's on the fourth line. And so Kenny Holland would have known him really well from Detroit. And he would have known the high end and the low end of Athanasiou. And you hope for the high end. Right. And right now they're not getting that. And they need more because their bottom end is not gonna help them if it's like it was the other night. And while some people were I think they were kind of, maybe overexcited, but they're picking the Oilers to win the final or get to the finals, and I'm like, man, it's the same team, right? Like, you got to go through St. Louis and Vegas and Colorado and, like, man, isn't that – they're going to have a tough time, moving through this thing. And certainly the other night, I mean, Mike Smith wasn't great, but he was no good. Actually, he was no good. But that was a rotten performance. I mean, I think they'll be better tonight for sure.
Well, they
have to be.
For Oilers fans.
Yeah, they can start packing their bags. I mean, ultimately, they're
– did you see that stat, guys? Like, there's 56 – times in a 3 out of 5, a team was down 0-2, and it's 1 in 55.
Wow.
Yeah, you could stick your head up a bull's ass. Take the butcher's word.
Well, Okay, well, so for the obvious thing then, did you have a hat trick or not? Because Carolina's PR said the first.
I don't even think
you must have even scored for them.
No, I just like to bust Frank. It's been a while since I bust Frank's balls, and I just needed to chime in there. I don't know why. I saw Frank Cervelli for the first time in a long time, and I said, you know what? I gotta rattle this guy a little bit.
Because I saw Carolina, like the team put out for the first time in franchise history. So I was really hoping that you did have one.
Yeah.
So that it would be like they just totally overlooked you, which would have been awesome.
No, I didn't. I just said that for Frank.
Oh, that's too bad. I enjoyed it for a moment.
Yeah,
so did I. I thought it was awesome because
just
I was hoping that
Frank Cervelli.
But I actually thought that like that Carolina was trolling you. Oh, I was like, oh my God, I guarantee you he had one. And they're like doing the non-video tribute to you again.
Yeah.
Well, they look good. They look like the best
Carolina
team in the playoffs.
They're dialed in, man.
Man,
they look
having...
good. Well, listen, man, like that fights and hits and intensity. If anyone was curious as to what you'd see, you've got it. You know, through 3 days.
Well, the first bit here has been really, for the most part, it's been really good, hasn't
Very
it?
Very entertaining. Like, yeah, it has. Been.
Yeah, it's been better than I thought. I would say for sure. Like the quality of play.
Yes, and I think there's some. I'm sure I would love to be a fly on the wall with all these teams, because I'm sure Montreal's sitting there thinking, "Okay, we're still, you know, we're in tough here. Like this is Pittsburgh. Like Sid's probably going to roll tonight, and Gino and the boys. But if we can win this, like we are all of a sudden a confident group. Like you go up 2-0 on Pittsburgh, how can you not have confidence? So like I don't know what Julian's going to be preaching to his crew, but if Carey Price can show up again tonight and they can have a little bit more jam, I think there's room for improvement on Montreal's side. I thought they were good. I didn't think they played their best game. I thought Pittsburgh was clearly better. But man, you go up 2-0. You just issued the stats, Ray. You go up 2-0. You feel real good about yourself moving on.
I thought like that first 10 or 15 minutes Price was outstanding, and then after that, I thought it was pretty even. Like, you know, like Price gave them a chance to get relax a little bit or whatever it is. And then, like, man, that Suzuki's a good player. Like, he's just sharp. The goal he scored, he made, like, a really nice, pickpocket play. And then he changed speeds and his shot was good. Like, he's a good player. And you know what? Maybe their most... Phil Deneau is a really underrated player, but so is Jeff Petrie. He is a really good player. I know he got the winner, but man, he plays huge minutes for them. He's big, he's mobile. He's like he's a top end guy. And if he were outside of Weber's shadow, I think he'd probably be spoken about more, but he was terrific the other night too.
Beauty.
Yeah, was.
Yeah. Well, they just keep rolling. We got games. We got two games done already today. 5:30 in the afternoon. Winnipeg has tied it up with Calgary, and Carolina's up 2-0. And Habs in action tonight. We got the Edmonton game going tonight. It is weird how there's like these two separate round robins that are happening, and it's like, do I care? Not really. You know, like they're there. I guess I'll check in. Kucherov scored a nice goal. Kadri scored with 0.1 on the clock.
Yeah.
But the eight best teams in the league are like kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Well, Boston better get going.
I think they'll probably finish fourth. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if they lost all three in the round robin, but I don't think that's going to affect whether or not they go on a cup run. Like, that team could snap out of it pretty quickly and get things together.
They feel behind, don't they? They feel behind.
Yeah.
Like, health-wise, and I don't know, they feel behind. And I'm with you. Those other eight teams, are they – like they are playing, right?
Yeah. Are they in North Dakota? Like, are they in Toronto and Edmonton?
I'm watching Washington and Tampa play right now. It's just Cobb.
It's weird. Like, it doesn't mean anything. Like, it does, but it's just like there's other games that are so intense, so meaningful.
I saw a tweet that Kucherov scored, and I was like, no idea that game was going on.
I didn't even know they were playing right now.
Yeah
me neither.
There's
anyway,
too much to follow.
There's
kind of
way
nice
too
to have
much.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we're off tomorrow because the Leaf game's on TSN Radio. So I guess on Wednesday we'll find out. Is it 1-1 or 2-0? If it's the mood on this show and in the city will probably determine that before you even answer your phone at 5 p.m. on Wednesday.
Yeah, that'll be pretty easy to figure that one out. I'll have my phone figured out by then.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you Wednesday at 5.
Okay. Congrats on the hat trickle.
There he is. Nice. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking all the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com. All right, Bob McKenzie in about an hour. Marcellus Wiley just after 6 o'clock. We're continuing to track the NHL games, the NBA games, the baseball teams that are allowed to play, baseball teams that are not allowed to play. So we got a lot cooking this afternoon on a holiday Monday here in Toronto. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right. You can find us on Twitter at Overdrive 1050. The Grappler has posted a poll question, which I think is, I don't know if it's worded properly, which is generally a bad sign when you're trying to get people to vote.
Well, let me put my surprise face on when he tweets it.
Yeah, the Grappler... I don't know what he's up to, man. I haven't seen him in a long time. I talk to him daily. I think he's in good spirits. I think everything's all good, but
by the way, there's a chance we might not ever see him. Like, we work with him every day, and we may never see him again.
He is quite comfortable, I think, in the Grappler compound. He is grappling with that couch and the bed. And wow.
He has his own green room at his condo, and he is dialed in. I'll tell you what. He works hard and does his job better than ever, but he is probably quite content not to move.
Yeah.
Has he smartened up on Twitter or not?
I think so. You know, I haven't seen him, you know, claiming that anyone's the greatest player in
better
history.
Better than Randy Johnson? Or
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's only A-Rod now. Did you see A-Rod
A-Rod's comparing Aaron Judge to Michael Jordan, Tom Brady. What?
It was Tiger Woods. I think we have the audio. Do we have the audio, Kenny? We can play it. It was, you know, ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball, and Aaron Judge is a beast. Okay, we don't have it. It's fine.
He basically said,
the gambler. Come on, dude. Let's get it going.
The gambler.
You know
I love
when to
it.
Roll it. The clip, right?
Kenny, do you have it or not?
No, it's fine. Yeah. It doesn't matter. He compared him to Tiger Woods. He didn't compare him, but he lumped him in as if it was a Mount Rushmore. You know, there's Tiger Woods and LeBron James, Michael Jordan and Aaron Judge, whatever he said, Wayne Gretzky. And it's just outrageously hyperbolic. It's so exaggerated. Judge is a great player, but he's been injury riddled. He's not even the best player in the sport. He's nowhere close to the best player of all time. And A-Rod just gets roasted with his calls on ESPN, and
he gets roasted all the time, man.
Yeah, he does, and partially because of his character throughout his career. He was such an unlikable player, and he took PEDs, and he lied about it multiple times. But also now everyone knows he wants to be an owner. Like, he has made that abundantly clear.
Of the Mets.
He wants to own the Mets. He's been in on other teams. I thought there was another team that he was kicking tires on. And so how are you going to be, you know, like someone with attitude or with some biting opinions or takes when everyone knows you want in the club?
Yeah.
You want to own a club, so you can't piss off owners or they won't
A-Rod,
let you.
A-Rod drives me nuts because I have a good life. I get to play golf and I have a little cottage in Collingwood, but it's not where he's at. And he'll sometimes take pics and he'll be like, what are you doing on this Saturday? What should I do? And there's like a picture of a yacht with a helicopter beside it. And yeah. And it's just like, which one should I do today? I just wanted to say, dude, come on, yeah, man. You're so unlikable.
Yeah, so unrelatable.
So unlikable.
So unlikable, so unrelatable. And listen, he can talk. He's got the gift of gab. But right, there's nothing to it. You know, like at some point you've got to carve someone up if it's worthy of it. It's not personal, but you know, if someone hangs a pitch in the ninth and you lose the game, you got to say that's an awful pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, A-Rod just kind of
be honest.
Yeah, like, it's all kind of G-rated, and he's
and that's where my problem with Faldo is. It's like he never, like, all he does is, oh, jeepers. It's like, no, Rick, yeah, like it's oh my god, what, like Johnny Miller was the best. Mm-hmm. He would go overboard at times, but it wouldn't be jeepers.
Jeepers, creepers. Well, jeepers, creepers goes both ways. Like, you could pick up an albatross on a hole and it'd be like, jeepers, creepers, an albatross. And then you could, you know, triple the next hole and it'd be like, jeepers, creepers.
Now, you know what the King Daddy Topper is. It's Jordan Spieth, who wall squatted on 12 at the Masters, and all he said was, oh, my goodness. Like, he should have jumped out of the booth and ran down there and started abusing him.
Right.
But all he could say was, oh, my goodness.
Who's got the PGA? Is it NBC? I don't know who's got it this week. And LaFalvo works for both. I think he does CBS and he does the Golf Channel anyway.
Oh, he does work a lot. Like, he's on coverage on Thursdays, Fridays on the Golf Channel, and he's on the weekends. Like, he's everywhere.
He's the face and voice of golf, more or less. I mean, there's Nance, there's Dan Hicks for NBC.
But when you fold the sod over one and all you can come up with is jeepers.
Well, I guess Tiger flew into the Bay Area yesterday and he was out there playing. This TPC Harding Park, is it, I think?
I don't understand it, man. Like, I know it's Tiger Woods, but since this pause for the PG, he's played once. He played once at Jack's tournament. And how is he supposed to be dialed in?
I don't
He's not Tiger Woods of 20 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think he will be. I don't think he's going to win this tournament. Like, I hope he is in contention. I hope he makes the cut.
Of course.
But I don't know how well he knows the track. Like, I don't think it's a course.
Well, he obviously knows the track. He played the President's Cup there, I believe, when Freddie Couples was the captain, and he was pretty dialed in for that event. But
okay.
I mean, he knows the track. I think he was a Bay Area guy growing up.
Well, he went to Stanford. Yeah. For sure. So I'm sure. Right. Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe he is familiar with it more so than.
But just the lack of playing, I don't know how dialed in he could be.
I'm not expecting much. You know, he looked tired as well. Like, that was a big part of the analysis on the Golf Channel after he played it at the Memorial. Was walking 18 every day is not as easy as people think.
Yeah, like, pick a 5-pack on Wednesday night. Total money earned for 500.
What's that?
Me and you, 5-pack each for the tournament, and we'll throw noodles.
Noodles can
you want to pick?
There.
No, I.
One noodles time will take Sam Snead.
I took Gene Saracen one time. The guy was 95 years old. They wheeled him out. Like,
take
I can't do
Gene
it.
Saracen in the pool. Five guys Wednesday night. Total money earned.
Okay.
We'll do it for a hunch.
We'll
Truck
talk.
Slammers.
Yeah, I'm already in trouble because you got Carolina 2-0 over the Rangers. So they'll get the Islanders up 1-0 in their series, and we get some cake on that. But, we got Trunk Slammers coming up later in the week. We got a major championship. I mean, the PGA Championship is ongoing. It's so goofy that that's the first one. Historically, that's the last major.
Yeah. Right.
But it's the first one, and it's this weekend out in the Bay Area. So we'll get to that more, you know, as we get into the week. The Leafs practice today. I'm just seeing quotes come out. It's so weird because the media isn't allowed in, which is just – that's not a Leaf thing. That's the bubble. I mean, that's what right. The NHL has decided. So they're all paying lip service that they said the right things. They did the right things. It's all good. We'll find out. You know, we'll find out tomorrow. We'll see what their mood is like, their attitude, their performance. But I'm not surprised they're all going to – hit their P's and Q's and make sure that they sound like they're not frustrated and it's all good. It's only one game. We can be better. All the standard cliches are going to come out of that group, and that's what we're going to hear the rest of the day until tomorrow at 4.
Yeah, you can't have any bulletin board material. Just go out and play, and, you know, that's ultimately what they've got to do. And, you know, that the beauty of this is the games are pretty tight. You know, like you're – I think – there's back-to-backs coming up very soon, too. Mm-hmm. Not the Leafs are
Carolina
3-4,
plays
right?
tomorrow. They play right. today and they play tomorrow.
Yeah, Carolina can close out the Rangers tomorrow. So there's some teams that are 2-3, and then there's other teams that are 3-4 for the back-to-backs.
Imagine that. The Rangers came to the bubble for 4 days.
Yeah.
Or whatever
it is. Saturday,
yeah, they've been in
and
since
they could be done Tuesday.
Yeah, they've been in since the 26th, the bubble, correct?
Yes. But that's,
so they've only
you
been
know,
in here.
Couple of practices, an exhibition game, and then 3 meaningful games. And we may not see you again until, like, next January. If they don't start until January 1st, that's going to be 3 meaningful games over the course of about 10 months.
Yeah, I was thinking about there's guys that are never going to play again, too. Like, not just, you know, Justin Williams will write his own ticket. Like, if he wants to play next year, he'll play. But I kept thinking, like, there's going to be guys that are 36, 37 years old or unrestricted free agents that maybe don't play well or just kind of get pushed out. And this is their last, you know, kick at the can in their career. Now, Henrik Lundqvist has more left on his deal, but there's a guy, you know, could you see the Rangers trying to make him go away just
they
because
They would prefer,
of
I'm sure, yeah.
That
they
type
have
of
to.
Scenario.
They have
but
to.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I don't know. Does he go somewhere else? Does, you know, like, that's the type. I kept thinking today, like, you know, in this little shortened, whatever, first 10 days, it could be the last of some guys' careers.
Absolutely. Yep. The same thing applies with the NBA.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, there's teams that are going down there to play regular season games and are going to be bounced and leave, and it's like Carmelo Anthony. We may never see Carmelo Anthony again. He's playing, and Portland, they got a shot, but who knows? All right, Marcellus Wiley in about 20 minutes. Bob McKenzie around 620, 625. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Marcellus Wiley in 15. Bob McKenzie in the next hour as well. The Jays were scheduled to be off today anyway. They're in Atlanta tomorrow. Baseball is in such a weird, precarious position because now there's been more positives with the Cardinals. So St. Louis is shut down. Miami's been shut down. Anyone that is around those teams have been shut down for a day or two, if not more. Anyone scheduled to play them have been shut down completely. That's where the Blue Jays come in. They were supposed to be in Philly all weekend. Listen, it's a real tightrope at this point, and there's no fans in the stands. It feels more cavernous watching a baseball game. Like, it feels more empty. You know, the NBA feels tight-knit. It feels close. It feels like you're in the action. It feels like it's alive down by the court.
Yeah.
I think in Toronto and Edmonton, they've done a pretty good job with the rinks and with the camera angles focusing on the rink. Baseball, you can't get away from it. You can't avoid the empty seats. But some teams have decided to put, you know, cardboard cutouts in the seats. And I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, but the Seattle Mariners decided to put a cardboard cutout of Steve Bartman.
I saw that.
Down the third baseline, basically where he was sitting at Wrigley back in 03. And that is just such a greasy maneuver. The old Bartman gets dragged back into it, but I think it's creative.
And I love it.
I think it's hilarious and a great play by the Mariners.
It is. Like, is it slightly gutless?
Of course it is. Like, he got – dude, that guy's life got turned upside down. There were 25 other people jumping for that ball, not just Bartman. He happened to get it, and the Cubs choked away the game. It was game six. They could have won the next nine, game seven. They choked that away.
And you're not just talking about people being a little pissed off. Like, he had to move. He suffered mental. Like, he went through the ringer, man. That was no joke.
He won't go back to Wrigley. They've invited him back. And when they won the World Series,
didn't they offer him a ring?
They offered him every. Yes, I believe they did. And he just said, "Get away from me." And I don't blame him. He hates the Cubs too, because the Cubs didn't fall in line for him. They didn't back him up, right?
Yeah.
Like, they were basically happy with go blame Bartman. Yeah, it wasn't us who choked away this lead.
Wasn't there a player?
Game seven.
Wasn't it an outfielder that was like basically pointing at him
Moises
and yelling
Alou.
At him? Yeah.
Moises Alou basically was like, "Get this guy, go chase him down Wrigleyville." You know,
just like that guy, his life is ruined. Although it's weird because I remember like a buddy of mine going as Bartman for like Halloween.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it was a great costume for Halloween. The turtleneck, the Walkman, and the Cubs hat. Pair of shades and you're Bartman.
Yeah, it's classic.
I wonder how many people still know the reference of Bartman. Like,
yeah, you would have to go to an older Halloween party and kind of like all of us would have to be there for that to be even funny.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. It's not.
Yeah, I don't think my, you know.
No, the Grappler and guys like that. Well, the Grappler would know because he's sports, so it's younger than Grappler.
Guy.
You would have to work at one of the big sports networks Halloween party to for that to be funny.
Yeah.
Everyone else would say, "What's with that garbage costume?"
You'd be a loser.
You understand bullshit.
You'd be a loser. If you showed up at, like, not that you should be going there anyway, but let's say a university party. There's some party, you're in town, you know, it's like, "Hey, I'll come out." And you show up as Bartman.
They'd say, "Where's your costume?" They'd
say, "You're such a loser, and why didn't you dress up?" Or if that's how you dress, you're a loser.
And there's nothing worse than you have to Google and show people what your costume's supposed to be. Then it just sucks right off the bat because you have to.
It defeats the whole purpose. You can't explain who you are for Halloween. It's the worst.
I've had some great Halloween costumes over the years. Like, you know, like just, I mean, I'm sure you guys did them with your teams, like Halloween parties and stuff. I loved them. I went as Skinny Fat Hulk one time.
So, I mean, Halloween's always a great party. Like, as long as everyone commits to it. If you're the guy who's too cool and you show up in a bar dress, you know, a shirt or whatever, then you kind of suck the life out of the party.
Single guys would always do that at the team parties because they, you know, they were going out afterwards, right?
Right.
That's the Right. You know, but you got to commit.
You have to commit. I don't know if Halloween's going to happen this year. Like, we're
no chance. No chance.
I don't know if kids are knocking on doors and.
If there's going to be no minor hockey and none of that nonsense, although they are going back to school, so God knows what's going to happen with Halloween.
We'll see. But, yeah, I hope there is. I mean, you need some normalcy, and it's outside. And, you know, if all the candy's wrapped, you should be able to get it home and
Noodles,
wash it.
You will be on your roof throwing candies at kids on the street.
No, I would open the door. I would have gloves on to show them that I'm taking it seriously.
You're lying right there. You're not opening your door on Halloween. I know that you're going to bunker down.
That's a lie. Yeah. You're going to go out.
Bear spray will be ready.
Bear spray. No, I think what I would do is you could run it over like maybe like a speaker or a camera or something. You put the there.
That's in the spirit of Halloween. Well, hey, get the hell out of here.
There was one little kid that tried to there was one, I put the Halloween candy out, and he started loading up his bag, and it said, take a couple for yourself, that's it. And this kid started, like, putting 20 in. So I went on the speaker, and I said, knock it off. So he got all rattled
knock
and started putting
off.
Some back on. Well, I had some choice words for the idiot.
Well, you got to send a message. I mean, that said, if I was 14 or whatever and doing that, I'd take the whole thing, too. You're asking for trouble if you leave it out there for a teenager to show up.
Yeah, it wasn't a teenager. He was young.
Really?
He was like 10 or something.
Well,
his parents should have known better. That's the problem.
He was 10.
Maybe less.
I can't wait to see your house. You are going as Dustin Hoffman from Outbreak. That's your costume on Halloween.
That would be hilarious.
Dress the kids as little monkeys and you're all set.
It's just Dustin Hoffman and... This is my wife, Renee. Who was the woman?
Renee Russo.
Yeah, Steph can be Renee Russo.
Well,
and you'll
I'll
be
wake
Hoffman
her up
in Outbreak.
Laying on the couch. She'll be passed out on the couch. So it'll be all good.
All right, Marcellus Wiley in the next hour. Bob McKenzie coming up as well. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.